Good morning. I am going to be preaching I'm focusing on just two of the verses that were read in the passage just now, verses 29 and 30. Let's just look at it again before I pray. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Wow, there's a lot packed in there. I'm going to focus on the word those here. Those God foreknew. Those foreknown, those predestined, those called, those justified, those glorified. Let's just pray together. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, as we bow before your great word, which speaks infallibly this morning, will you enable me in my frailty to speak the power everlasting? And I pray that ears will hear by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. The great Indian leader, Mahatma Gandhi, was once asked whether he was a Christian. You see, some people thought he was because he used to quote the Bible quite a lot, and he had a lot of respect for Jesus. And he was asked, "Are you a Christian?" And he emphatically replied, "No, I'm not a Christian." He said, "I have a great love for Jesus. I love the teachings of Jesus, but I'm not a Christian." When it was pushed a bit further and it was asked, "Well, why are you not a Christian if you have such a respect for Jesus?" He said this, "The problem I have with Christianity is Christians. The problem I have with Christianity is Christians." He loved the stories of Christ, but he felt that the church that follows Christ was a bad example and had spoiled Christ's message. Strange. The problem with Christianity, he said, was Christians, the church. Now, can you understand this morning why he said that? I can. Maybe you have the same problem this morning. I mean, Jesus is amazing. But the Church of Christ, the church, can be a bit embarrassing sometimes, can't it? I mean, how many followers of Jesus do you know that are really living up to the standard of Jesus Christ? Most Christians I know have massive chips on their shoulder, hang-ups, prejudices, weaknesses. Let's face it, if you had to judge the Christian message by looking at the Christian lifestyle, you'd be disappointed, wouldn't you? Church people can bicker and moan and let you down just as much as people in the world can bicker and moan and let you down. And this used to be a big problem for me when I was searching but not yet born again. I liked this Jesus I heard about. You know, the stories of his love, his compassion, the wonderful sacrifice of dying for people that hated him, it impressed me. And I respected Jesus even before I believed in Jesus in a saving way. But church, I remember saying, just like Gandhi said all those years ago, "Jesus, yes, I like Jesus, but church, nah, no thanks." I didn't want to get involved with the followers of Jesus, the church. And I genuinely had a real problem with the church. Church people certainly weren't cool in the eyes of the world. In fact, many of the people in the first church I went to were simply odd. They looked weird and they talked weird. And they very often acted weird. Well, in my eyes anyway. And I also realized that church people are just as fallible, just as human, just as stupid sometimes as the people out there in the world are. So what's the point of joining a church? Jesus? Oh yes, I like Jesus. But church? No. And over the years, I've met many people that have the same problem that I had before I became saved. Maybe you've got that problem this morning here. Jesus is fine. The message of Jesus is good. It's impressive. But church? Who needs it? In fact, there's a move in our modern times to put church aside and follow Christ without church. Have you ever heard of the one-to-one movement in America? It's a growing movement. And they are saying that if you want to live real Christianity, stay away from church and just serve Christ on your own. Read, you know, in your homes, read your Bibles. Don't get involved in church. Do you feel like that sometimes? I love Jesus, but church? What if I told you that that is a fatal mistake? What if I told you that it's actually impossible to be a follower of Jesus Christ unless you are a committed partaker of the church? In fact, what if I told you that the key to understanding the gospel of Jesus is tied up in the church? I'll say it again. You will only be able to understand Jesus and his saving truth properly if you have a true understanding of the church. No church, no Jesus. Now you may say, well, how can I say that? Well, please hear me now, because I'm very concerned that there are many people that really need to hear what I'm saying. And I know I won't convince you, but I pray the Spirit of God will be somewhere in the things that I say. The essence of the Christian life, well, let me explain it this way. The essence of the Christian life is love, isn't it? God is the eternal agape, the lover. Now, with the thought of that in your mind, think of this. One of the most famous love stories of all time is Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, the two star-crossed lovers. Now think about this. Would it be possible to understand the love of Romeo if you knew nothing about his Juliet, the object of his love? No, of course not. Everything about the love of Romeo in the story is bound up in the person he loves, Juliet. If you don't know Juliet, you will never know anything about the passionate love of Romeo in the story. You've got to know the beloved to have a conception of the lover. Does that make sense? What sort of a fool would say, I'm going to write a PhD thesis on the love of Romeo in Shakespeare's play, but I want nothing to do with Juliet. Keep Juliet out of the way. Listen, Romeo can only be understood as a lover in the light of his Juliet. Now, why do I talk about Romeo and Juliet? If today you're one of those people who wants Jesus, but you want nothing to do with the church, do you know, according to the Bible, Jesus is the lover and the church is his beloved. How many of you have read the Song of Songs? It's a crucial gospel reading. The Song of Songs is about Christ and his church. Now, what hope is there of anyone getting to know the mind of Christ if you don't know anything about what the mind of Christ is set upon, which is the church? The Bible tells us that the church, that means this ragtag group of crazy people who are saved, and I'm one of them, the church is the body of Christ, a soma Christo. We're his body. The Bible tells us that the church, this ragtag church, is the bride of Christ. He somehow is going to be married to us. In Ephesians chapter 1, we're told, and you've got to let this sink in, that the church is the fullness of him who fills all in all. What does that mean? We somehow complete Jesus, the church. The church is the completion of Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus gave his life for the church. Christ, what is Christ doing up in heaven right now, according to the Bible? He's interceding for his church. Christ is coming again for the church, his bride. Now, if that doesn't tell you that the church is pretty important, then I give up. The church is important. In fact, according to Ephesians chapter 2, listen to this, the church is to be the final manifestation of God's awesome goodness. We, the church, exist to the praise of his glory. The church is God's eternal masterpiece. Did you get that? Now, if like Mahatma Gandhi, you're one of those people that wants Jesus, but you don't want the church, then all I can tell you is this. Reject the church, and you reject Christ. Christ and his church come as a package deal. You cannot separate Christ from his church. And as John tells us in his first epistle, if you claim to love God, you must love your brother also. That's the deal. But why? Why are Christ and his church joined together? Why can you not have Christ unless you have the church? Well, I'm not going to tell you completely today, because for the next 5 sermons, I'm going to be doing a series on the church of Jesus Christ. And all of these sermons will be taken from the text that we have here today, Romans 8, 29 and 30. You see, this passage we have in front of us is actually the clearest, most profound, most comprehensive declaration of what the church is in the whole Bible. The Bible tells us that the church is foreknown, predestined, called, justified, and glorified. And in this little passage, we have, as I say, the best definition of what the church is. So you don't have to be a prophet to know what my next sermons are going to be about. There's 5 of them, and it comes from this passage. But let me just for today, I've given you a bit of a taster of what I'm going to be doing. So the next one will be obviously on those he foreknew and how the church is loved with an everlasting love. Now the church is loved eternally and always known and written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We'll be looking at that next. But let me just give you a challenge. You've got to have something to chew on today. So here's my challenge. The doctrine of the church, they call it in theology, ecclesiology. The doctrine of the church is a doctrine that's largely neglected and even forgotten in our modern age. In fact, in our postmodern lives, we are very individualistic in the way we do things. Everything seems to revolve around us. We're consumers in our culture, aren't we? Even when it comes to church, we'll judge a church by me, my family, my concerns, my hopes, my expectations. We have a consumeristic, individualistic attitude to church. And most of you have probably judged the church, well, I've done it myself, according to your interests and your individual concerns. Because we're brought up consumers. And church is an individualistically thing, seen as an individualistic thing. Many people have a take it or leave it attitude to the church today. Somebody said to me, it was no one in this church, so don't start looking around, but somebody said, listen, why do we need the church at all? We've got our computers at home, we can listen to good sermons, John MacArthur and all that on our computers. We can read our Bibles at home, we can worship at home, you know. Why do we need church? Well, let me repeat what I said just now, and this is very important. True Christian faith is absolutely, absolutely dependent on a biblical understanding of what the church is. The church is not a social club for religious people. The church is not just an organization for people that happen to believe in God. Church, this might surprise you, but church is not a building. Church is a collective noun. You know what a collective noun is? A flock of sheep, a gaggle of geese, murder of crows. You know all that? Church is a collective. Now listen to this. Church is not a what. It's a who. Church are very special people. Go back to Romans 8:28, just before this. What does it say? The church are those people called according to God's purpose. The church are those foreknown by God. Those whom God has predestined to become like his son Jesus Christ. The church are those called. We are the ecclesia. The church are those justified. We're the saints of God. The church are those already, past tense, glorified. Now, what our text is telling us is that there is something absolutely amazing that we need to realize. And in the next few weeks, God willing, we'll be looking at what it means to be a part of Christ's church. And we'll also separate the true church, the church invisible, from the false church, because there is a false church. We'll be looking at what it means to be part of God's church. And I hope as we look at these next five sermons, listen, I'm not the world's best preacher, I don't pretend to be, but I hope the Spirit of God will excite you as you've never been excited before, because going through this, I've been amazed at what the church is and what light it throws on the glory of Christ when we understand the lover in the light of the beloved. And I pray in the next few weeks you'll change your attitude on what church is. The more you understand church and the more you live church, the more you will live and understand Christ, because Jesus is to the church what Romeo is to Juliet, the lover to the beloved. And it's impossible to have Christ, truly have Christ, and not have his church because they're bound in an eternal embrace that began with a covenant before time. So I am excited about what I'm going to be sharing. I really am. You may say, oh, but how can you be excited about church? You may say, you know, church is boring. You know, you look around. I mean, churches are pretty much, they're always struggling. They're never big crowds. Look, I'm not knocking any of you. Some of you are exceptions, but none of us are pretty glamorous or glorious, are we? We're just ordinary Joes and Janeses. What's so special about us when you look at us? How can we get excited about five whole sermons on the church? All I can say is don't judge a book by its cover. Jesus was not very impressive when he walked on this earth. He was despised and rejected, and we're told in Isaiah 53 there was nothing in his appearance that would make us desire him. Do you know he was an ordinary working class tradesman, and he probably spoke with a northern Galilean accent, and people despised him. And yet, do you know what? Under the facade, under the surface of this man Jesus was God himself. Don't judge Jesus by his appearance. And in the same way, don't judge the church by its outward appearance. Inside the heart of every truly born again child of God is the very spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. In us. And do you know, I'll be a bit picturesque here. One of these days, that spirit in the church is going to burst forth into an eternal fireworks display of glory. There is something latent in the church's heart that's going to burst forth. The church may look weak and unimportant, but it's going to be shown to be the climax of the reason why God made the whole universe. Do you know why God did all this? There's a book by Jonathan Edwards, The Reason Why God Created the World. Who's read it? Please read it if you get the chance. The Reason Why God Created the World, Jonathan Edwards. He made the world to show his absolute glory in the church. The church is the climax. And do you know, one day you and I, the church, are going to rise in glory just as Jesus rose? Do you know, he was the firstborn among many brethren, and as Jesus is in glory, you will be in glory. Do you know we will sit on thrones? Little old us. Do you know one day we will judge angels? You may say, what us ragtag group of, you know, saved people, we don't look like very much now. The church is about the ultimate praise of God's glory. So Mahatma Gandhi said, yeah, I want Jesus, but I don't want the church. If that has been your attitude up to now, I pray that it's going to change. Because it's impossible to know the glory of Jesus without knowing the glory of the church. They're inseparable. And I just pray that God is going to awaken us for the destiny that awaits us as a church. The universe was made so that the church could be born. The church is the body of Christ. The fullness of him, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Don't tell me you don't want church. If you don't want Juliet, you're not going to get Romeo. And if you don't want church, you're not going to get Jesus. Let's just pray. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray that you'll stir our spirits to want to follow this series well. Teach us, please. Because, Lord, your church has had such a bad rap. Oh, Lord, we're so humiliated in this world, and we often feel that we're not much. Please, show us in your divine scriptures in the coming weeks the glory that awaits the sons of God. Lord, we read in scripture all of creation, waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Show us this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together now, O Church Arise. At the end of this sermon, if you have to, in you and your child, look at the person next to you and be amazed. If that person's a Christian, that person will be like Christ. We will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Don't be fooled by appearances. This church is going to explode into eternal glory, and we'll sit with Christ on thrones. Father, we thank you for Jesus, our brother, he who is not ashamed to call us his own brother. And we pray, Lord, that we will learn more about what it means to be the church, the beloved of the lover. Amen.